Our Old Testament reading today is from the book of Daniel, chapter 6. Then they came near and said before the king concerning the injunction, O king, did you not sign an injunction that anyone who makes petition to any god or man within 30 days except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, The thing stands fast according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked. Then they answered and said before the king, Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or the injunction you have signed, but makes his petition three times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was much distressed and set his mind to deliver Daniel. And he labored till the sun went down to rescue him. Then these men came by agreement to the king and said to the king, Know, O king, that it is a law of the Medes and Persians that no injunction or ordinance that the king establishes can be changed. Then the king commanded, and Daniel was brought and cast into the den of lions. The king declared to Daniel, May your God, whom you serve continually, deliver you. And a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that nothing might be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. No diversions were brought to him, and sleep fled from him. Then at break of day, the king arose and went in haste to the den of lions. As he came near to the den where Daniel was, he cried out in a tone of anguish. The king declared to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth, and they have not harmed me, because I was found blameless before him. And also before you, O king, I have done no harm. Then the king was exceedingly glad and commanded that Daniel be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no kind of harm was found on him, because he had trusted in his God. And the king commanded, and those men who had maliciously accused Daniel were brought and cast into the den of lions. They, their children, and their wives. And before they reached the bottom of the den, the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces. Then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, Peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in all my royal dominion people are to tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed. And his dominion shall be to the end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. He who has saved Daniel from the power of the lions. This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle lesson this morning is from Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter. At that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been... I didn't do it. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message was our gospel lesson. Story goes that a soldier and his commanding officer were getting on a train. It was going to be a two-day journey across the country. So, you know, it's always important who you sit near because you're probably going to end up talking to them. And the enlisted soldier was thrilled. A beautiful little thing that turned a pretty ankle, to use an old expression, sat in the bench facing him, and with her was his grandmother. And as they're talking, getting to know each other, oh, the soldier and this woman were flirting. I imagine that, young guys flirting. Boy, I guess that would ban him from, never mind. So anyway, they're talking, and they go through a very dark tunnel, and two sounds are heard, a kiss and a whack. Come out of the tunnel, and the girl's thinking, well, I'm glad he kissed me, but I can't believe my grandmother slapped the commanding officer. And the grandmother's thinking, well, I'm glad she hit him for kissing her like that. Young soldier was just happy as can be the next day. He had done the two things he always wanted to do, kiss a pretty girl and slap his commanding officer. I guess you can say, now see, for all you who laugh, that bans you from political office. All right, anyway, I just had to. All right, that soldier certainly took advantage. He seized the opportunity. In life, we get caught up with the details. We say we don't have the time. I can't make the time to do this. We get caught up in deadlines, commitments, problems, priorities, distractions, obstacles. But if we really want greater fulfillment, I'll say, in life, we always seem to find it just outside of our grasp. We all want to live full lives. Paul says in Ephesians, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. We want greater fulfillment, but we've been given a mission from God. And part of that is to be a reflection of Christ into the world, to shine his light out into this world. And you certainly read the news, this world needs Christ probably like it never has before. And our lives reflect what he has done for us. That fly's going to get whacked. All right. You know, throughout history, God has shown himself. And throughout the Old Testament, you see God showing himself in the way that he relates to other people, in his relationship with his people. And then when he was born, then in Bethlehem, God became flesh and dwelt among us. You know, one thing God could have done, he could have stayed up in heaven, looked at those 12 men, pried open the top of their head and put all the knowledge up there, and then just sent them out in the world. He could have done that. But instead, he comes and models the life that we cannot and will not and choose not to live. Yes, he had to live that perfect life to be that sacrifice. But he's modeling the example to his disciples. And I always hear some people reject the church because Christians don't live what they preach. They don't live what they believe to be true. Well, I think that might be true for a minority of people who reject the church. I think a lot reject, especially in today's society, is because of the fact that they see the church as too confining. Too many rules, too many boundaries. They don't realize that within boundaries, there is freedom. I know that sounds like a contradiction, but within boundaries, there is freedom because you're able to live freely through this. I'll show you how boundaries are helpful. Imagine if there were no lines on the road and the highway and no speed limit. I know it would look like Indy at rush hour. But you know exactly what would happen. It would be demolition derby out there. But with the boundaries and the rules, we can get to where we're going. Now, we're not talking about bad drivers for a second. But the boundaries, then, we have freedom. And Christ gives us, or shows us, the life to imitate. He loved the unlovable in society. He forgave all sinners. And when he's doing his earthly ministry, there are always groups of people. You know, the tax collectors, the prostitutes, ones like this. That society said, no. Christ went to them. He reached out to that untouchable group in society. You know, in Oklahoma City, where the bombing was many years ago, was 168 killed. Across the street from that, there is a 9-foot statue of Christ. And he has his hands open. And on the words below has been etched the words, Jesus wept. If you had to draw a picture of what Christ has done for you, I'd be kind of curious what it would look like. But I found, I think, a great example of what Christ has done. Small boy was always late for lunch. Can you imagine children being late for lunch or dinner? See, this story must have been written in the old days when kids did something called play outside. Without this thing in their hand. All right? But the old days when kids played in that strange world called outside. But he was always late for dinner. And his parents warned him again and again, dinner is at 6. You have to be here at 6. And they said, finally in frustration, the father says, look, the only thing I think is going to work is this. The next time you're late for dinner, all you're getting is a glass of water and a piece of bread. So do you think that kid was on time that day? No. He comes in the house, and there's a beautiful dinner on the table. But at his place is a cup of water and a piece of bread. He's going, they meant it. And he's looking at all the wonderful food, and he can't have any of it. So they say their prayers, and as soon as they get done with the prayers, he says, I'm sorry. And his father reaches over, picks up the bread, takes the water, and hands his son his plate, and the father ate the bread and the water. See, that's what Christ, if you want the picture of what Christ has done for us, the punishment we should have taken, he takes it upon himself, and he gives us the riches of heaven. Christ calls us to conform our lives to his. Not a lot of times what I hear out in the world is, well, I know, but I have to think that God. Well, if you know, and then it's up to you what you think about God, I kind of have it all messed up. We're to conform to him. So he says conform to him, but can we do it on our own? No. This would sort of be the equivalent. All right, John, I'm going to pick on you because you're there. John, with just the amount of gas that you have in your car, and you can only take your driver's license. Sharon, same thing. You get no money. I want you to drive to California. What is the chance with the gas that you have in the car you're going to get there? Really? If you tried really, really hard, couldn't you make it? Zero. See, God doesn't give us a command to do something without the ability to do it, because on our own, we can't. But he gives us the power to do it. Acts 1 says, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait there for the promise of the Father. This is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Alone, without God's help, could the disciples have accomplished taking the gospel to the world? No way. What a wonderful God we have that says, conform your lives to him, and then he gives us the power to do it. And as we work in his kingdom, he doesn't want us to be fans. I always love these people who go to sports, like say a football game. Hey, did you notice in the Old Testament lesson, even the lions in the Old Testament couldn't even eat one guy. And the California Angels, a baseball team, beat them. Anyway, has nothing to do with this. All right, we are not called to be fans. You go to a football game and you're a fan. I'm a fan. Are you allowed on the field? Can you go up to the old Gatorade tank and tap it? Andrew Luck throws a touchdown. Can you go down the field, slap him on the back, say, "Way to go"? Oh, but you're a fan. But you can't do anything. You got to sit in the stands. See, God doesn't call us to be that kind of fans in the work of the church. He calls us to be followers. Ones right involved in the work. And he called both men and women to a mission within the church. And going back to that idea of seize the opportunity, seize the moment, that's what he says to do. When we have a chance to share that gospel, seize the chance. Man and woman were sitting in the living room and they were watching the TV, and there was some story about somebody that had been in a vegetative state and all this, and the husband says, "You know, if I ever get in a vegetative state, I just wouldn't want to live." He says, "Honey, if that ever happens to me, that I'm a vegetable, please pull the plug." So she got up and unplugged the TV. Which was kind of a message, get off your tail feathers and go do something. Wait a minute, it sounded like Archie. Never mind. All right, we are to evaluate our lives, our relationships, our actions, reactions, priorities, resources in the light of the relationship that we have with God. In life, are you getting anywhere? Have you ever sat alone and said, what's the purpose of all of this? Do you exist or do you live? And there's a tremendous difference. And I know some people say, well, I can't. You know, I'll tell you some of the people that are the most inspiring at church. I'm not going to name anybody on this one. Is the ones that are infirm with different things, and they still, I see their bright, shiny faces in the pews. Now, can they do a lot of physical work? No. But are they doing the work of God's kingdom? Yes. Because who am I to complain about getting up in the morning to go to church with a sore back when I see somebody else coming that's far worse? That's an inspiration to me. See, we have a need to want more than what we actually have. But we have it all through Christ. And whichever situation we're in, we can still serve him to one degree or another. Matthew 11:28 tells us, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." We're called to live like Christ. He gives us the power to do that. And all of our responses or all of our actions is a response to what he has done for us. Seize the day. Seize the opportunity to work for him. And he says, deny yourself. Put away those sinful impulses and work for his kingdom. See, God wants followers, not fans. So sometimes we need to just get off the sidelines. The other day I was looking for something in a room that resembles a lot like Chernobyl after the disaster. Entirely my fault. And I came across a bunch of little pieces of paper that I had from my college days, back when Caesar Augustus was emperor of Rome. And I was looking through them. They were just quotes from people back in the day. And some of them, by the way, were still quite funny. But I came across one that I had put up there. The only Latin expression I know is carpe diem. That was kind of my motto back in the day, for all the bad reasons. But carpe diem is Latin for seize the day. So if I was to put that old sign back up, I would put carpe diem for the Lord. Seize the day for the Lord. So may the peace of God, which is above all of our human understanding, keep our hearts and minds always focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting. Amen. And we continue our worship with our gifts to continue the work of His church.